once again. My brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, God's salvation that came into the earth. I greet all you guys that have been here with us for a long time, and then also a bunch of new people that, by God's direction and God's design, you're getting connected and you're just starting to hear these. I recommend go through the archives and go through stuff that's gone before, because a lot of this has been both timeless and also progressional. God has got a way of doing that. And, you're going to find a lot in there. And so anyways, just an encouragement to not just wait for stuff that comes on the homepage, but there's a lot that's up there. And one of the things that God had us do when he had us put together Faith Mix for the window that it will be available, and it is a window because we don't know how long some of these things are there, and then, you know, when the time comes to wrap things up, but use it while it's there. Get it while it's hot. Okay. All right. Okay. Grab your Bibles. Let's go Genesis chapter 3. Okay. Now verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Okay. And it goes on from there. Okay, I'm going to read a little bit more. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me gave it to be with me. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. All right, and it goes on. All right, I'm just going to finish the chapter. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Oh man, there's so much in there, and there's so many different ways that we can go anytime that we get into the Word. There's so many different truths, so many different rhema, so many different pieces that depending on, you know, where we are right now, what truth that God wants to highlight and what he wants us to think and to run with on this day. Because the truth of the Word is there. That's the bedrock. That's the foundation. That is Christ. And yet, in the midst of that too, there is the spoken word, that rhema that we get, the daily bread that comes from God, where God feeds us with what we need for this day, what we need at this moment. And, you know, and he knows what you need. He knows what your individual need is. He knows what you need to receive to help keep you strong. As you're looking to him for direction, God knows how to direct you. God knows how to encourage you. God knows how to quicken your heart and keep you in this journey where we're going from glory to glory, strength to strength, and consequently also test to test. And you know, one journey to the next. And in those, we build on the lessons that we've learned. You know, there's some progression in this. You know, you've got to, like David said, you've got to have gone through the bear and the lion, you know, before you're ready for Goliath. I mean, he'd been through some things with God and seen God's hand and God's faithfulness. So he didn't just go into that fight with Goliath without any prior experience with what it is that how God worked with him and God's faithfulness to him. So he knew that even though he went into that situation at 16, he reckoned that God was going to be able to take him through and deliver him. And this Philistine, though he'd be 9 foot tall and heavily armed, was going to be just like any of those other animals. Now, there's a dynamic in this chapter that you know, I woke up today and I've been pondering on this one, but there's a dynamic in this chapter that's something that we want to spend a little time highlighting. Okay, the issue of power. Now, power is something that is, it's there. We live in a world where people try to attain it, have it, use it, harness it, do all these things around power. And yet, with power, there's sometimes some foundational understandings that are necessary, especially for the child of God. Okay, so throughout history, the issue of power, you know, who has it, how they relate to it, how they use it, you know, how they use it over others, how they use it with one another. That's constantly been an issue that we as human beings in this life have struggled with. We've struggled with the consequences of when power is in the wrong hands, or I should say more along the lines of powers in the hands of those that do not intend good. When the thief that comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, when power is in his hands and he exerts that power over others, and what we end up having to deal with as a consequence of that power being vested and put into that person's hands. Now, back in Genesis, when God created mankind, and here you have the representatives of mankind. You've got Adam and Eve. When God made Adam and Eve, they were given with the authority that God had placed on Adam and put him over, basically over creation, you know, that God made this incredible creation, and here God puts Adam in place gives him dominion over that creation. And in doing so, and even tells him, all right, and Adam starts naming the animals. He starts giving them names. And which, you know, naming is a powerful, powerful thing. When you name something, you're communicating the character, the nature, it's something that's going to be with that being throughout their time in the earth. So, I mean, God did a lot with Adam. Adam had incredible creative powers invested in him. You know, and even, Eve, that partner that was with him in the garden and what they were and what they'd been given. But in the midst of that, with authority and power, there also came that there were guidelines that were set. There were limits that were put in place. There were, and that is a God-given, established way that we were to exist in life. Because out of control, like for example, you take a fire, right? Fire, if you in the West and in your colder place, or most places in the world, if they have a fire and they use it for heat. Well, if you put it at any place in the house, you'll burn down the whole house. You have to set some parameters for where that fire will be. So that's why usually they create a fire pit or they have a fireplace, is because that's the place for the fire. Because out of that fire has incredible power, but put in the wrong context and the wrong place, it can do incredible destruction. So mankind was given parameters, and God gave them to him for his own protection, for his own guidance, for his own well-being. And so within those parameters, he had incredible freedom. But to break those was to do something to his own hurt. So now what took place in Genesis chapter 3, and part of what we'll discuss here, is you have this moment where Eve, you know, starting off, the serpent, who, you know, representation of the fallen one, representation of that trick that took place, which Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where Lucifer, wanting to exalt himself, wanting to be God, wanting to be something outside of the parameters of what God had set for him. And he had an incredible position in heaven, incredible position in his eternal being, incredible creation. I mean, literally, musical instruments were part of his spiritual being. I mean, he was, you know, just full of just beauty. But in the midst of that, his heart was exalted, puffed up, and he wanted to be more. And in doing so, in violating that position, in violating the power that was put in him, in violating his own authority, you see his fall. And in the fall that took place, the consequence of that was, you know, he, you know, was lost his position. And not just that, but you know, strong evidence too that being one that was given authority in the heavens, that a third of the angels fell with him as well. And that often is what you see when authority and the authority structure is corrupted. Like in Sri Lanka, they used to say that the fish rots from the head down. And when that head gets rotten, the rest of it starts going too. And, you know, that corruption that took place, that destruction that took place, a lot of other things fell into corruption as well. So now, you see the seeds of that same deception sowed into the fall of mankind with Adam and Eve. And the breakdown between the relationship between man and woman, the relationship between mankind and the creation of God, the relationship between our God-given destiny and what we now end up struggling with and having to deal with. All because, as a race, we stepped out of what it was that was our original design. Now, this is going back to the original. And, you know, since that time, mankind has struggled to try to come back to something. Now, what happens, though, too, is in that misstep that took place, the result was that man was now subjugated to and created and was partaker in the creation of this world system that's at enmity with God. See, the rebellion that took place was also a breaking of that which God had put in place. And by doing so, and by going that way, you see the destruction that took place in mankind from that point forward. You also see the redemptive plan of God that started at that point as well, but that started to be manifest from that point as well. I mean, even in the sacrifice of, and even in the animals that were slain at that point, you see, you know, foreshadowings of what was going to take place for the redemption of mankind, for the forgiveness of sin, but also for the restoration of mankind, which would need to take place. Now, in that process, what we see there is we see how the fall was set up, we see how that was executed, and then we see the consequences of that. Now, when you flip forward and you go to the Gospels, and here it is, Jesus coming into the earth, Jesus being the second Adam. Or actually, Jesus being, let's see here, the last Adam, I'm sorry, the last Adam, second man, the last Adam. I mean, he so there was, the reason that he was the last Adam is because there's something that was closed off in him. There's something that closed off Jesus in that time. The second man, but he's the last Adam. Now, it's important that in that process, one thing that takes place is that Adam and what the destruction was that happened to our being in this life, from that point forward, God now began to work out that redemption in Christ Jesus. Now, when in the desert, the devil offers that the different temptations to Jesus, and one of them being, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor if you just bow down and you just worship me. What Satan was offering, what the devil was offering to Jesus, was a legitimate offer, limited time period. And but again, if you go into that, now the consequence is you've got to now be part of that system. To steal, to kill, to destroy. You can be high up in it, but you're still part of it, and you're still under. Ultimately, Jesus would have been, if he would have gone that way, he would have been under that system, that authority, that structure. He would have gotten everything in the world, but ultimately he would have been accountable to Lucifer. And all of mankind had been brought into the grips of the enemy before that. Now, there was no way out for us. See, this is why Jesus, the last Adam, was necessary to come into the earth. Because he had to close it out. He had to do it right. He had to make atonement for what had taken place. This is where the blood and the cross come in place, because the blood was necessary for the sin. The cross was necessary for the sinner. So the blood was necessary to make atonement for what had taken place. And Jesus offered his blood, you know, that pure sacrifice which was necessary to cover and to deal with that, to make that clean. And the cross was necessary because we needed to be saved from what we are. So the blood is necessary for what we had done and for what was done before. The cross was necessary for what we are. And that's why the death is necessary in the cross, in Christ Jesus, because now you can come and live the rest of your life as a new creation in him. So that is a part of this journey that we go through. That second man is that new entire species that we are in the earth. That's why we're different. We're a different species entirely living in the earth. That's why the wheat and the tares grow together. That's why light and dark coexists here in this place, because there's a second group existing here. A second man, an entirely new creation that has been made. See, the first okay, so for example, you know, my dad is, I'm, you know, I am mixed raced, you know, so my dad is from the States, my mom is from Sri Lanka, and, but if I was to learn Spanish, that doesn't make me a Spaniard, right? Okay, so, I mean, I have certain things that, as far as my physical being, that I was born into that. And so for something to change, the only way that ends in the physical and the natural is when I die. In the realm of the spirit, when people came into this realm, they were born into a certain spiritual reality. We were born as sinners. It's not even what we do. We're just born into that because of Adam. Because in Adam, all sinned. In Adam, all died. So the new creation that was necessary, the new creation that took place in Christ Jesus, is that now the life we now live is in him. So death is swallowed up in victory with the cross. That's dealt with. And now we are new creations in him. And now we're able to live out our lives here. Now, the issue of power is something I wanted to talk a little bit about, though, which was, see, throughout time, what you've seen is when the fall took place, now, under that Luciferic system that was now set up, a zero-sum game was established. If you, in game theory, there's a one called a zero-sum game, which is basically there's a limited resource there, and in order for it's a one-to-one. So if one thing is going to come up, something else needs to be taken away. So if I've got an apple and you've got an apple, the only way I can have two apples is if I take your apple, then you have none and I've got two. You know, so that's the way that the world system in a lot of ways was set up, that mindset that was there, which is a contrary mindset to the kingdom, where in Christ Jesus things flow. In Christ Jesus there is no limitation, because all things flow from the vine, all things flow from the truth, all things flow from him. Whereas in the world, there is a limitation. Why? Now, there's a reason there's limitation. And the reason that there's that limitation is because they are cut off. And we talked about this in the last audio. Because they're cut off, the limitation that takes place now is there is no more resource flowing into them. So because there's no more resource flowing into them from the Father, they've got to work with that little bit. As they're withering and dying, they've got to take whatever's around them and start pulling those pieces in. So, this is where you start also seeing how evil is reinforced in that system of being broken off. Because when what happens is when somebody is now in that place and they are fighting with one another, they're devouring one another, whether it be wars that take place where people are attacking and destroying each other to take their resource, or whether it's in the families where just the wives and the husbands are trying to constantly just, you know, trump over the other person and get what they want at the expense of the other person, or when it comes down to on the job, on the workplace, whatever it may be, but that dynamic is there. You see it in the world of human trafficking, where those that have a little bit of power, whether it is through force or coercion or the money that they have, the currency that they have, and how they use that to take advantage of those that are in a weaker position, a position where they cannot fend for themselves as easily. They cannot fight back. Now, here's the other side of that too, though, is that this is an issue that goes down to the human heart. Because I've also seen for myself situations where you have people that didn't have power, that were disempowered, that have come up, and when they've been able to exert some power and authority over somebody else, for the first time maybe even in their lives, and how they've used that to destroy their fellow man. Oh yeah, it's a human condition. So when people start talking about all these social ills that are going on in the world, and can you believe that this group did this to this group, and these people did this to that, them, listen, there's a human issue that goes down to the core of our DNA that is rooted in who we are, where I've seen it, trust me, in developing countries where you've got small groups of people that have come up just a little bit, and that corruption in their own heart that's sewed into their DNA that goes all the way back to Genesis, that is there, and you give people that window where for the first time, and if they're able to exert it over somebody else, they do. And I've seen people in poverty situations and in slums, and even within the slums, where there are some groups that have a little bit more, and they're able to use that power to destroy somebody else. Now, this is something where this is a human condition. It's just part of the fall. And the flip side of that is, when somebody goes from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and I do believe there's a reason that it's called the power of Satan unto God, as Paul talked about in Acts 26, when he even recounts his own salvation experience. In fact, let me just read this really quick. Acts chapter 26, verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay, so this is a deliverance that's necessary to go from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Now, the power of Satan is a limited sum, zero-sum game, limited supply, limited resource, where there's a scarcity that's in there. And this is also how people are robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying each other in that. And when they have some power in that system, how they use that power to gain more power. How they use that resource to gain more. How they use that leverage to be able to destroy somebody else. Not for altruistic ends, not for the betterment of society. No, it doesn't happen like that. Not in that system. Not in that system. They'll talk about that, but usually when they talk about those kind of things, it's just to more destruction. It's just to more hurt. It's just to... So instead of giving up... So they'll say, okay, give up your freedoms and your liberties in exchange for security. But then people give up their liberties and their freedoms, and they have no more security, and now they just don't have their freedoms and their liberties either. Yeah, of course. You know, I lived for a big chunk of my life in Sri Lanka, you know, during a crazy civil war. And, I mean, I saw in that country how, as time went on and people gave up so much to see the end of that war, and the monsters that were created out of that, and how the power that was eventually seized upon by those that rule the country, and how they used that just to do some of the most atrocious things. But of course, if somebody's a servant of the devil, they're going to do that. And that's part of what they're signing up for when they go into that system. Now, you, my brother and my sister in Christ, when you step out of that kingdom of the devil, when you go, this is why your friendship with the world is enmity with God. There's going to be a separation. There's going to be a divide. There's going to be a different way that you relate to life, that you think about things, that you relate to your time here in the earth, that your desires, your passion, your vocation, your mission, all these things are going to be shaped by the Spirit of the living God that lives and moves and goes and flows through you. Now, in Christ Jesus, this is why also we talk about Jesus being the gate. Listen, there is no other way off this wheel. All right? If somebody's been telling you that, is you not getting off and out of this any other way? Because all of people's self-will and self-help and all the rest of that stuff, it doesn't fix anything. All it does is just shows them their own limitation. All it does is just reveals all this other stuff that needs to be dealt with. And you won't ever fix it, just like you won't ever remove the corruption once it's in there. The only way out is death. And the thing is, when you die in this world separate from Christ, you get recycled into hell. Whereas when you die in Christ, now you're moving into life. And you can do that now because of what Jesus has done. So you can have that new life now. So in Christ Jesus, the blood takes care of all that has come before. The cross takes care of what we are. And there's death in that cross, in that which what we once were died there. And the resurrection life. There's life in the resurrection because death and hell could not hold Christ Jesus. And so we are now resurrected with Him as eternal beings for our time here in the earth. And this is why the Spirit of God quickens our mortal bodies. This is why we've got a spring in our step. This is why we're able to see things. This is why we go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. This is why we're able to put our shoulders back and not exist the way the world exists. Listen, if you were going to take 1 million people into the desert and you were going to do it the way the world does it, you're going to have them there for 40 years, you want to try to set up the supply chain for that? But when you walk into that desert with Christ Jesus, when God is sending you in there, He'll take care of you. However He needs to do it, He'll take care of you. And He's shown that throughout. So He's not bound up in the limitations of mankind, separate from Him. No, this whole thing is His. So even when Jesus was walking around in the earth, He was able to, look, if He wants to pay a tax, He'll just get a fish to pay it. He said, hey, Peter, go over there, take your fishing rod, and the first fish that you catch, open its mouth, you're going to find the money in there to pay your tax and mine. So God pays the tax with a fish. I mean, he's got a sense of humor in all of this too. We're not limited to the way that the world does things. But here's the thing. When you step also now and you move with Christ, all authority on heaven and on earth, Jesus said, had been given unto him. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. So now the authority structure is set right again. And the power is set right again. That's the other thing, too, that's just beautiful. It's for the child of God, power is now correctly aligned in him. So in Christ Jesus, now power flows. And here's what's cool about this, too, is that, you know, with that flow, whatever gifts God has put in you, when you are plugged in, you know, as it were, to that place, that source, that free flow of that comes from the authority of God that flows through you, all the gifts and talents that you have, you know, that God has already given you, they're now quickened and empowered by His Spirit. And that just makes this incredible difference in whatever you do. So your art is laced with the Spirit of God. Your music is laced with the Spirit of God. The words that you speak have the Spirit of God in them as you're doing whatever you see the Father doing. Just like Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So when you speak the words of God. When you dream, God gives you dreams and visions. And now the world will work so hard to try to take you off that course. So it's going to throw distractions your way. It's going to throw temptations your way. It's going to try to throw all out oppression your way. Whatever it tries to do, all of that is going to be for naught. But you got to persist. You got to move through, because those are definitely going to come. But once you start seeing that what that game is, then you can move on and move through. You can adjust your life accordingly. Now, one of the things that I've been thinking about too is that to retain knowledge, to retain wisdom, to retain understanding. It's not, there's sometimes one of the places where we get a little lost is that we will hear something, we'll hear a truth, but we don't retain it. You know, I mean, to retain, you know, is to hold, is to keep, to sustain, to not let go of, to have it available. So you want to, you know, you want to retain the knowledge of truth. You want to retain it. You want to have it there. And God is, and so one of the things that one of my prayers is, Lord, and I pray this for all of us, is that we would retain the truth as God gives it. And then we would be quickened by the Spirit of God to act on that with power, and that it would become part of our lives. Because, I'll give you a practical example. You can learn something about health and nutrition, but if you don't retain it, if it doesn't stay with you, and if you don't put it into practice, it's not going to help you. So you can learn, okay, drink some warm water in the morning, and that's going to help your digestive system. Something very simple. You can hear that. But if you don't actualize that, if you don't put that into practice, then it just slipped right through. So you want to retain that truth, and you want to actualize it, and you want to move forward. And so for us, we want to move forward in that which is the truth. See, God has put, I mean, we have abundant power within us. Greater is He that lives within us than he that's in the world. So already, because we've now moved forward with the second man, who is Christ Jesus, the last Adam, so it dealt with that entire thing, and we've moved forward as a new creation, no longer bound into that satanic Luciferic structure. And this is the kingdom that God set up, that rock that grew and filled the whole earth. And we're in that. So, and greater is He that lives in us than he that's in the world. So we are greater, the greater power lives in us than this structure that's set up around us that we've come into in enemy territory. But you've got the power to decimate the works of the enemy. You've got the power to destroy, to tear down strongholds, to tear down spiritual wickedness in high places, to displace it, to remove it, to speak the word and the truth, and things change. So when you come into a realization and a revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, everything changes. How you look at yourself in the mirror changes. How you live your life changes. How you conduct yourself with other people change. Alright, here's a much less powerful example of this, but since we live in such a materialistic society, I'll use it. If you all of a sudden found out today that somehow through some coincidence or some circumstance that you had $10 million cash available to you in your accounts and you could just call on it, would that change how you related to your circumstance and your situation? Would that change how you see certain things? Would that change how you start conducting yourself? Quite possibly. Because it changed the dynamic. Something changed. I mean, I think probably would have less of an impact on my brothers and sisters in Christ than people that are in the world. But it would still have some impact because of the things that we're around. See, when you start to understand certain dynamics, now, in a heavenly sense, the things that are made available to you in Christ, far greater than $10 million. Far greater than anything the world has to offer. And this is why the devil works hard to keep you away from that. This is where you go back to Genesis chapter 3, where what does the devil come to Eve with? Did God really say? And the first thing the enemy wants to do is sow doubt into your mind. Because he wants to break up that trust, break up that faith, break up that bedrock that you have in Christ Jesus. Did God really say? That's how he goes. And you got it. This is why you got it. Yes. This is why you got to retain the truth. Yes, God really said that. Yes, God said that I'm more than a conqueror. Yes, God said that I am his son. Yes, God said that I have an eternal inheritance in him. Yes, God said that I have the power put inside of me by his spirit that I can go and make disciples of all nations. Yes, God really did say that. And yes, God also said that thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So I'm not going to bow to anything else. Are you kidding me? Yes, God said that. Resist the devil and he will flee. But you got to move on in that. You got to step up to who you are in him. Now, with the power that God's put in you, now, rightly relating to that power is also important. Because scriptures talk about how Moses was meek. You know, meekness is, and Jesus was meek. You know, what is meek? Not weak. Huge difference, huge world of difference. So weak is when you have no power. And in the world, in the world system, if you are weak, those that have any semblance of power will take that sign and they will use it to destroy you. When you are meek, meek, M with an M, M-E-E-K, meek. Meekness is power under control. So that's where you have incredible power, but it's under control. So with Jesus, he was meek. So when Jesus, when he was, they were grabbing him in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, you know, and Peter and those guys, they came out with the swords and they struck the servant of the high priest, cut off his ear. And Jesus told him, put up the sword. Peter is like, you know, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. And listen, if I wanted to right now, I could ask my father and he would send 12 legions of angels. Right then and there. It would decimate these others. So the power was there. But he's like, but how are the scriptures going to be fulfilled? So he had power, but it was under control. When he stood before Pilate, and Pilate was saying, don't you know I've got the power to crucify you or to let you go? And Jesus said, look, you would have no power unless it had been given unto you. So go ahead, do what you got to do. Power under control. Power under control. Power under control throughout. Jesus had power under control. Even on the cross, if he wanted to come down from there, he could have. But how would the scriptures be fulfilled? Even on the cross, Jesus prayed for the people that were crucifying him. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing, Lord. Throughout, you can just see again and again and again places where if you and I, apart from the Spirit of God, if we had that kind of power, but no Spirit of God, they would have decimated the enemies of God right away. But that's not how it works with Christ. This is why you need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. And this is where when power is under control, and under the control of the Spirit, not man, mind you. No man has authority over you, not like that. The Spirit of God will quicken you, lead you, guide you. You were meant to be led by His Spirit and Him alone in and through this life. Yeah, you'll have windows and times where we work with each other, where we go into certain structures here and there. But if you are a follower of Christ, it's fine. Somebody else takes the lead on a project, go for it. But then you carry on because you're not lording over each other. That's not how it works in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we want to see each other flourish. In the kingdom of God, we have one high priest. We have one head, which is Christ. And we are all part of the priesthood of all believers. This is why Jesus said, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, you better learn how to serve. When the disciples, the early disciples, the apostles, were fighting it out with each other, with Jesus around, and they were like, we're arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Jesus had to set them correct. Now, this is where also you need the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to not just give you the power, but also guide you in the use of that power. I tell you, with us, with what God has had us do over the years, I look back, I'm amazed. If I look at it from a natural viewpoint, because God has literally involved us in the shaping of what happens in the destiny of literal countries. And for those of you that have been close enough to us to know some of those things, you know what's gone on. Incredible power. But we carry on. Now we understand too that the enemy of our souls is like a roaring lion running around looking for whom he can devour. But listen, if you are in Christ Jesus, death is swallowed up in victory. You carry on in the things of God. You carry on in the power of God. You realize that the world is going to continue to be out of control in their power. They're going to be looking for whatever they can do to up themselves a little bit and exert that power over somebody else. It's a horrific structure that they have that's crumbling right now. It's coming apart at the seams. Whereas in the kingdom of God, there's life, there's peace, there's destiny, there's provision, there's protection. There is a mind that's set at peace. God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So I pray right now that your mind is stayed on Christ. And with that, hey, let's pray really quick. Father, I just pray for my brothers and sisters listening in, I pray that you bless them. I pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray, Father, that the power that you have already put inside of them, Lord, that would flow in and through them, Lord God, and that they would move forward in boldness and in strength under your direction, Lord, into your call and plan and purpose for their lives. We bless each other in Jesus' name, and we pray your protection, your guidance, your leadership, your direction, health and strength in each and every body in Jesus' name right now. All of your children, Lord, in Jesus' name right now. Bless each and every one of us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.